From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Scott Irwin will be here. He's been thinking about corn acreage, the shift potentially to soybeans, prevent plant, and what all that might mean for total production in the United States as it relates to corn and what the market needs to consider if it's not already, and what farmers might need to consider as well. And then we'll talk about the cash grain market. We'll do that with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and we'll get an update of the weather forecast across the Corn Belt and see whether producers will be able to move this week or not. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check out what happened in Chicago with Kurt Kimmel now. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will take us through some interesting trade at the CME Group. A lot of it had to do with what the president was tweeting about, and then the introduction by the Chinese of some additional $60 billion worth of tariffs on U.S. goods that would be imported into that country. How did the marketplace take it all?
Turnaround Monday. Unbelievable on the corn and the wheat. But, boy, it was total destruction. Well, actually, last night held up fairly well until the wee hours of morning. And as we got in the meat of our trade here, completely disintegrated, particularly beans. But corn and wheat were able to reverse up out of the hole here. I think hopefully the trade was wanting to focus on something else. The news that came out here over the last few days is well known. In fact, I'm willing to bet the commodity funds, you know, said hopefully that's enough for now, and it may be cash in a little bit of profit on this down move. It was kind of a little bit of a vacuum. We ran out of sellers, and it kind of rolled on itself in through here. Wheat, the largest gainer. The key is we did record key price reversals to the upside in corn and wheat. We made a new contract low and closed above the previous day's high. And so that's fairly significant on the technical side, particularly if we can hold together here and make some higher highs as we move forward. If you're a momentum indicator follower, we've got some trend divergences taking place, whereas the market made new lows here several times, but the momentum indicators were unable to make new lows. So technically, it sort of suggests maybe enough is enough for now, but we'll have to continue to monitor the political atmosphere as it is quite bearish or concerning, in fact, so see what develops. This afternoon, planning progress report is probably the key as we move forward here. Not a whole lot was accomplished in the Eastern Belt particularly. The average trade guess is 35% complete as a nation on corn. Average is usually about 65%. Next week usually jumps up to 80-85%. This second and third week are usually the biggest gainers in planning progress for corn, and the way we saw the weather unfold over the weekend and what we have in front of us, it's going to be awful hard to make a huge jump. Bean planting progress expected to be about 15%, and that's normally on that 30-35% complete. But with the Eastern Belt, that's the main concern. Planting progress, most of the concern remains in the corn. If you go back to the Great Flood year of 93, we were about 27%. Complete. 2013, we're about 28% complete. But a lot of these years where we're late, there's two factors. One is harvested acres. So we stay wet, we're definitely going to lose the bottom ground. But you got to maybe look at subtracting 1 to 2 million harvested corn acres. And if you keep the yield where it's at, that's about 350 million bushels. You can subtract off the supply-demand balance sheet. Then two, on wet years, where it's gone in wet, we've often lost anywhere from 10 to 20 bushels to the acre on yield. And if you just take off 10 bushels on 83 million harvested acres, you know, you're talking close to 830 million bushels. So this big carryout projected next year at 2.4 billion bushel can be fairly quickly drawn down to about 1.4 or 1.5 billion bushels if this weather problem continues. So hopefully the news media, particularly cable TV, will get wind of this and pass the word and maybe slow the selling down.
Well, that sounds hopeful. But we'll see. So we do have some, we've got a couple of weeks here, really, where producers need to move. The weather forecast isn't great. I think it's getting better, but it's not great at this point. What do producers need to consider? So there's Prevent Plant out there. The administration is saying they will be paying, but that probably will be a payment like last year, and it's on bushels. We'll see what they come up with, if anything. What kind of considerations are you putting in place for them at this time, or is it still just a wait-and-see game?
Well, I think the number one is contact your insurance agent. We've had tons of questions about this, and we're not crop insurance agents, so you need to contact your local crop insurance agent, make sure he's got the facts and the numbers down for you, because there's a lot of moving parts. It depends on how much coverage you have and so forth. But right now, the mentality is keep it wet so I can take Prevent Plant. But if you take Prevent Plant, you got to realize what happens to your average yield and your payout and all that. There's some other things involved. So get the full story before you come to a decision. The other thing is we're at a date now where I've talked to several producers in the southern third of Illinois that are just plain and bound determined they're going to go to beans. And I don't think there's going to be one corn stock unless it's in the ditch or volunteer corn from Springfield South. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. Do you have your nitrogen on? Do you have your chemical on? This year is probably the most stressful of all years to make the decision, because if you do go too wet, the odds are once it comes up, you have to decide whether you're going to keep it all or spike it in and replant policies too. So you just got to weigh out your options. You got to know what your options are and try to make a good decision that fits your own particular individual situation and try to stay alive. The thing is to have staying power. If you're one in the marketplaces with hedges or cash replacements, you've got to have some covered positions here because this emotion is running high. And we're just going to get in a wild swing in market, and this volatility is going to do nothing but go up here over the next 30 days.
Let me ask you a different question. Let's say that you do go Prevent Plant and you collect. Of course, that won't have an impact on your ARC or PLC payment, so that's a potential possibility. However, if you're outlining this right, those won't be paid out anyway because the price will be going up sharply. You won't collect that on crop insurance because you have just stepped out of that, right? By collecting on Prevent Plant, is there something a producer can do to protect the upside?
Well, what you can do is oftentimes we've come in and had guys replace ownership on paper instead of farming out in the field. You've got a long position on paper because if we do lose acres and we do run into weather, you want to try to capture a little bit to the upside. Plus, two, on this payout, we don't know what the government's up to on what type of assistance it's going to be. And if you do Prevent Plant, if you don't have harvested bushels to collect on some type of government payout, you know, that's a concern too. So our best bet is if you're wanting to manage your position to have some type of covered re-ownership in place, so if the market goes higher, you can recoup something to the upside.
Hey, thanks so much. Better ask about the livestock. I think it probably took as big a hit as anything today.
Yeah, you know, when China comes out and say, well, we're just not going to buy any ag products at all. Well, the livestock sector has not really sold off on this move or concerns about China because they believe they're going to have to buy meat no matter what. And so the speculative crowd got a little caught there. And so livestock market suffer here for a little while, whereas beans have already lost about $1.30, $1.40 off those winter prices.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Scott Irwin is here, agricultural economist from the U of I. You've written quite a bit about acreage and prevent plant and some other options that producers might have. You've taken that up again. What's your second look telling you?
Most of the discussion about late planting centers on potential yield for corn. And naturally, there's an interest in that, and there's some relationship between late planting and yield, and we've already had a lot of discussion about that. But what's interesting is that we all know that yield is more determined by what happens later this summer. And so it could be really good, could be really bad, but we know there's a lot that can happen. Well, it doesn't get nearly as much attention. I think the acreage implications of late planting are more important because that's the here and now. And it's a now or never decision. And if we're going to lose corn acreage in this late planting scenario, you're never going to get it back. Whereas the possibility that even though you're planting late, you might get some of that yield potential back with a really good summer.
That's the argument that Seth Meyer made with us on Friday after the USDA report, and the reason they didn't lower the yield any from the trend line at 176. So what does acreage do?
The relationships between late corn planting and switching of corn acreage to soybeans and additional acres going to prevent plant is actually more solid than the relationship between late planting and yield.
Oh, because there are facts. It's either a zero, and there are facts that you know.
That's right. I mean, and so there's a strong relationship when you get out into that plus 10% or more above average for losing corn acres.
Oh, what's that relationship look like?
It's interestingly enough, it's more linear than it is with yield, which makes sense because either you lose the acre or you don't. Whereas yield, you know, the later you get, the worse the potential impact on yield gets. But just to give you an idea, if we're 10% above average late planting, then we find that there's about on average, a 1 million acre switch from corn to soybeans, which the way we measured it was taking whatever the planted acreage number was in the prospective plantings report and then compared it to the final actual acreage that was released in January. So that's the change, the way we're looking at it. And so if we're just 10% above average, late planting, which would be about 27% late planting in total, we will lose about 1 million acres from the March number in corn. If you are 20% above average, you lose 2 million acres. And if you're 30% above average, kind of those mid-90s peaks, you lose 3 million acres in terms of the switch. That is just switching. Then you have on top of that prevent plant. And I really think that the prevent plant story is not getting the attention that it deserves and needs right now. That's going to become a really big issue, in my opinion, given where we already are in terms of being behind, how wet it is in a vast part of the Corn Belt. And on top of that, we have the forecasts for another potentially big round of rain starting in this weekend. So the combination of that is going to put into play much, much larger prevent plant acreage potential for corn than I think we've probably ever seen.
Did you do the work on what that means to total production for corn?
Yeah, that would be over 500 million minimum and probably 800 million at the top.
Yeah,
half a
billion to 800 million.
So, you know, just from what I see as the likely scenario for acreage loss at this point, you know, the oversupply, the really burdensome oversupply that the USDA printed on Friday will evaporate.
And that means what to farmers and the market?
What I've been thinking about, Todd, is that every year, you know, starting early spring, we hear talk about, well, the corn price has to be higher to, you know, get acres away from soybeans or the other way. But there's always this idea of the market needs to price corner soybeans to swing acreage one way or the other, right? I think the market is going to wake up and realize that the corn price very suddenly is going to need to rise to keep out a really surprising amount of acreage, corn acreage, in prevent corn planting. Because right now, the downdraft in corn prices that we're seeing make prevent plant even more economically attractive. Here in Illinois, you know, if you're looking at, you know, pre-harvest bids of three and a quarter, say, or maybe even lower, and you've got a prevent plant guarantee that's, say, $375 to $425 an acre or higher, you didn't get your fall tillage work done, or you didn't get all the, you know, you didn't get the any fertilizer and herbicide programs implemented, boy, you have to take a good, hard look at prevent plant. Now, again, that's still a few weeks away. You know, it's June 5th in most of Illinois, but it's May 31st in Iowa, and we're going to be barreling down on those dates in a hurry, given the weather forecast they're at. So I think that's going to become a really interesting economic question.
And May 25 in the Dakotas. Thank you so much. That, of course, is Scott Irwin. He's agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Brian Stark. He is at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Kind of an interesting day, but I wasn't sure what to make of it. Brian, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's the same. You know, the best thing I could say is maybe a tech trade on corn. A key reversal supported some buying. Some of it might have happened. The new weather maps tended to go a little wetter in the 11 to 15 days. So I think that's maybe caught the trade's attention, and wheat kind of follow along with in sympathy to corn. Obviously, beans kind of being the weak commodity right now, lagging along with the other two.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about the crop insurance side as opposed to the cash side. Have you been getting many calls from the area?
Yeah, I mean, there's producers starting to look at the math. I think ultimately, you know, in East Central Illinois, the grower is going to try and plant corn at least through the end of this month if a window develops. Prevent plant date is June 5th for us. So I don't see any reason today where they're going to seriously look at that until we see how far along we get until the end of the month. From there, then I think it becomes a math calculation with the way the bean market's kind of collapsed, not necessarily in the camp thinking corn acres switch to beans versus maybe considering prevent plants. And that's usually an unusual discussion. We usually don't have that come up in our trading area, but this year has been an unusual wet weather. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is the week we need to try and get something done. There's no doubt about that.
And your bids for the day are what?
Today we are $3.36 for cash corn. New crop corn tonight is $3.46. Cash soybeans $7.58. New crop soybeans for this fall are $7.67. And new crop July wheat this evening we would be $4.17.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons. Let's update the weather forecast here on the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. The guys up at Wrist Pulse in Chicago are not available this afternoon. We'll start in Des Moines, Iowa there, the number one corn-producing state in the nation, where it's 66 degrees and rising at the moment under cloudy skies. They may have a little bit of rainfall tomorrow. They'll go to 72, and then they have sunshine on Wednesday and Thursday. A high of 80 degrees on Wednesday, 90 degrees on Thursday. They'll keep that high at 87 on Friday, but have rainfall Saturday, more rainfall in 78, and then clearer skies on Sunday and 73, and back into the rain on Monday in Des Moines, Iowa, and 75 degrees. The second largest corn-producing state in the nation, that's right here in Illinois, looks a whole lot different, and clear skies are in the schedule all the way through Monday of next week. Well, at least partly cloudy skies without rainfall at all. 64 for the high today, 70 on Tuesday, 76 Wednesday, 87 Thursday, 88 Friday, 87 Saturday. That'll start to dry things out Sunday and Monday, 81 and 86, both under just partly cloudy skies. The third largest corn producing state in the nation is Lincoln, or is Nebraska. We'll get the numbers from Lincoln now. 73 for the high today. They're at 66 under clear skies and rising now. 85 tomorrow. A little rainfall Wednesday and 84. 92 on Thursday. Friday, windy and 89. Saturday, more rainfall. Sunday, 72 degrees under cloudy skies. And on Monday, 82 degrees and rainfall there. Number four in the way of production for corn is Minnesota. The Minneapolis forecast says they're going to a high of 69 today. Under cloudy skies, tomorrow 69, cloudy 75, and cloudy on Wednesday. Rainfall there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, highs of 83, 67, and 79. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies, 66 degrees. Monday, 61, and partly cloudy skies in Minneapolis. Fifth producing corn state is Indiana, not very far from where we are right now. And just like Illinois, they look pretty clear all week long, 59, 66, 65, and 80 by the time we get to Thursday. 86 on Friday. Finally, completely clear skies on Saturday and 86. Windy on Sunday and 81, and partly cloudy on Monday and 85, but there is no rainfall in that forecast for Indianapolis. A couple of other places to check in on. Fargo, North Dakota, 73, 72, 74, 69 all week long through Thursday, then rainfall Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 62, 59, and 53. So they'll stay pretty cold. And in Manhattan, Kansas, clear skies until Saturday, when they may have a little rainfall again on Monday for rainfall as well. But they'll be really windy on Thursday and Friday. There are temperatures there, 76, 85 tomorrow, 86 Wednesday, 90 on Thursday, 89 on Friday. And then they drop back into the upper 70s for the rest of that period. That's a quick look at the weather forecast. You can always find more on our website at willag.org. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for tuning in whenever you get the chance on demand, again at willag.org. I'm Todd Glisson.